This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. At the end of October, we had the last of 8 candidate debates here at VPR, this last one between U.S. Senate candidates Bernie Sanders and Lawrence Zupan. In addition to press and our own and Vermont PBS staff and some campaign staffers, there were 2 other people in the studio. They were election observers, one German and one Russian, from an organization called the OSCE, or the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They send observers to elections in all participating nation states, and representatives from the organization have been watching many aspects of the midterm elections here in the United States. We reached out to the organization to learn a little bit more about their mission, and I spoke with Thomas Reimer, spokesperson for the OSCE's Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights. That's the Elections Observation Division. I started by asking Reimer how long the OSCE has even been observing elections.
The organization itself has been around since 1975. It was created during the Cold War. This specific activity in our office have been around since the early 90s. The organization went through a period of growth, if you like, when the wall fall, basically, in Europe, and with the fall of Soviet and so other socialist states there, and transitions, the organization took on a much greater role, including in election observation and in trying to help former socialist states in the transition toward democracy. Now, the thing is, though, as you also say, that we observe in all 57 participating states. That's also true, because the basic thing, there are commitments that all of those countries have made toward running democratic elections in line with international standards. And there's no such thing as a perfect election.
Right. Because, I mean, you think about election observation, and often we think about countries where democracy is at risk, or new democracies, or developing countries. And the United States is, at least in theory, none of those 3 things. But this is just standard practice to observe elections, even in the United States. This is not specific to the 2018 midterms.
No. It's not specific to this. I mean, this is the 8th time we've been in the United States to observe. We were here in 2016. I was here personally in 2012. And as I said, we're here, first of all, to observe a process and see what areas in what ways that process can be improved. But also another thing that the election observation serves is an opportunity to pick up positive examples, positive practices, and share those amongst the other participating states. So there's an opportunity to learn from each other as well.
Does it feel different this time around? There's been a lot of conversation about United States elections, election fraud, both internally, whether that's happening in the way that elections are being run within the United States, and from interference from foreign actors. So does this at least feel different in the way your work is being perceived?
Yeah, sure. We've heard the conversations. We've heard this information from people we're speaking with here as well. The thing is, and I don't mean to disappoint you with this, but one of our strongest principles is that we don't comment on or provide an assessment of the process until we've had an opportunity to basically observe the process in its entirety. So to deal specifically with some of the issues you mentioned and to what degree we think those are realistic or problematic, we'll only be able to do that on Wednesday when we present our preliminary statement of findings and conclusions.
So you present it the day after the election. I mean, that's not much time to compile all the results. You must be working hard right now.
Well, yeah, no, this is as I said, it's a preliminary statement. But we are working hard and working long hours here to make sure that we get it as right and as accurate as possible. Anyway, the thing is that then that's just the preliminary statement, though, as I said, and some 8 weeks after the conclusion of the electoral process here, we'll issue a final report, which will flesh out, provide more information about the things that are identified in the preliminary statement. But importantly, we'll also include recommendations on how the electoral authorities here can adjust some of the shortcomings that might have been identified in the report.
So before I mention the perception of observers for United States elections and how the observers are being perceived this year, not necessarily if they're seeing any difficulties, but for example, we had 2 election observers who came to VPR, to our station, to watch our Senate debate. And that was the first time, at least since I've been working in U.S. media, that we've had something like that happen. So at first we thought, oh my goodness, is something different going on here? And I wonder, given all of the hype about the elections right now if observers, if people think that these observers are here doing something out of the ordinary?
I think there's a lack of familiarity in many cases with our organization, first of all. I think it comes as a surprise to some people that the United States is a member and really one of the main founding countries in the OSCE. I think it catches people by surprise, and it as they're not, sometimes that's defensive, as surprises can be for anybody. The thing that's that I think people also don't realize is that through the OSCE, the United States itself is one of the most active contributors of observers. For example, earlier this year, for the Russian presidential elections, there were 8 long-term observers and a large number of short-term observers provided by the United States to look at that process. I think people are kind of surprised. And the responses vary. I mean, we've had a very positive experiences. I mean, the experience you yourself mentioned right here, the opportunity to sit in on this debate is definitely a positive one.
So beyond sitting in on debates that are held by the U.S. media, what are observers doing prior to Tuesday, November 6th?
Basically, we're moving around. We have 34 long-term observers, so they're in teams of two, and they're basically observing in the continental United States, in the 48 states here. And as they move from state to state, what they're doing is following the pre-election preparations as well as the election campaign in those areas, and meeting with electoral stakeholders. For example, representatives of political parties, representatives of the electoral authorities, which in most states are secretaries of state, meeting also with representatives from the media or civil society to try and get as full a picture as possible of the campaign, of how the system is set up, how the laws work specifically in a particular jurisdiction, whether that be a state or sometimes down to county. In some states, the rules differ from county to county.
So we had these election observers at the VPR debate, and they're in Vermont. They were in New Hampshire going around checking on these things. Does it work this way in every state? Are the observers going all over the country, and what do they have access to?
Well, it does work pretty much that way across the entire country. I mean, the way that we've deployed and the way that we're moving about it, and as we have in past elections. To what degree all of the process is open to observers is a different question. In a number of states in the United States, there are specific provisions made in the law for international observers, and those are followed on election day, for example, to watch elections. I was in a polling station here, as I mentioned earlier, Anacostia here in D.C., where these provisions exist. There are a large number of states where there are no provisions, but there's no prohibition either, and so decisions can honestly be on a state-by-state basis, and often depending on the election official in that state, who's most often the Secretary of State of the state, on whether observers will be allowed in the polling station or not. There are then a small number of states, the number escapes me right now, I want to say 12, but please don't quote me on that totally, that basically prohibit observers as unauthorized persons from entering a polling station. Now, where that's the case, we, of course, don't enter the polling station. We're not here to break the law, and we're not here to interfere with the process. We're here to observe. That said, in those states, we do still go to observe. We do talk to electoral representatives, whether they meet with us. We talk with party representatives who are often more than eager to meet with us, and civil society and representatives of the media, so that we can, even if we're not allowed on that day to look inside a polling station, that's fine. There's a lot of other information that we can gather. That's particularly important to keep in mind this time around because, as I said, we don't have a lot of short-term observers. We're not spending a lot of focus on what's happening in polling stations on election day anyways. So we're able to really get the information we need to fulfill the objectives we had when we came here in the first place.
So this is a highly skilled position. This is not somebody who's sort of plucked off the street and, you know, brought here to just watch things.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're sent to us, they're seconded to us by OSCE participating states and provided by the different governments. But I mean, they have to have a background in this specific area, in the observation of elections, in electoral issues in this way. And then there's also quite a bit of briefing and training that goes in at the opening of any mission to really get people on course and really have people geared up and specifically ready to work and carry out those duties in the country where we're observing at the time.
What does it feel like, and what's, you know, what does it feel like to actually do this work?
It's really, first of all, as I said, there are 57 participating states. I've probably observed in at least 20 of them, if not more. And so how it feels on the day, I mean, this depends from place to place. I mean, there's usually a kind of energy on election day, no matter where you are. There are cultural influences. Some places they're in post-Soviet states, for example, and some of them there's almost like a party atmosphere, in the sense of there's music playing at the polling station, and there are things to buy, and people can come by and buy groceries on the way there, so it's a kind of community thing, and that's itself left over from the Soviet period. It depends. I mean, one of my strongest feelings, experiences and impressions was in 2012 when I was here in Anacostia and went to observe in a polling station that was basically was located in a police station, which was something new for me. But the lineups on that day were quite long, and people were lined up outside. But it was really fantastic, actually, the atmosphere, because people were very positive there, and it was kind of like a neighborhood get together, almost in the line, and very positive and friendly.
Well, it's really interesting to hear you talk about all of this, and I appreciate you taking the time to help school us in what's happening with election observers here in the United States leading up to Election Day. Thank you very much, Thomas.
Oh, thank you for your curiosity, and thanks for having me.
Thomas Reimer is spokesperson for the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe's Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, which is the OSCE's Election Observation Division. Not sure that would all fit on a business card. I spoke with him yesterday.